Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. What can I get for you?
I would love it if you could take a story of encouragement and justice and hope and really just shred it up.
Pull up to the second window and we'll see you next crime.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. I am John, here as always with Jamie. Jamie, I feel like this case has been all over my TikTok, man.
Man, it hurts my soul. And it's so weird because it's based on a... Well, the story itself is about a sheriff that we're going to talk about. And they made movies about this, Walking Tall. There was one in 73. The most recent one had The Rock playing this character.
One of the best movies ever made.
So much fun.
Is that outlandish to say?
Yeah, that's really dumb to say. But it's a really good movie. It is really good. Johnny Knoxville's like a sidekick. Really well done. The villain's awesome. But
the villain is somebody super famous. He's the guy that will not kiss other women because he is a devout Christian. Am I making that up?
Yeah, I can't think of his name. He's been on our friend Lauren's podcast.
Yeah, he has those eyes that just make you think he's up to no good.
Absolutely. They see through your soul, but the movie's good. It's based on a true story, so I thought, this guy gets it. This guy's all about justice. And then this week, a story breaks to cast some doubt on that. So why don't you get us started talking about him?
We are going to be talking about a man named Buford Pusser. That is the most Tennessee name of all time. Are we in Tennessee?
Yes, absolutely. We are, of course.
My grandfather's name was Buford, and just takes me back to the mountains. So this case rose to fame in McNary County, Tennessee. Serving as sheriff from 1964 to 1970, he became a symbol of law enforcement courage. He was fighting entrenched criminal networks like the Dixie Mafia, along with the Mississippi-Tennessee border down in that area. And his story inspired the movie The Walking Tall, like you just said. So the narrative went like this. Pusser and his wife, Pauline, were ambushed in a drive-by shooting while patrolling in the early morning hours of August 12th, 1967. He was severely wounded. And Pauline, again, his wife, he said, was killed instantly in the back seat. So the crime was blamed on criminal elements, and justice was really never served. Again, he was supposedly fighting a bunch of just really, really bad guys. So they kind of blamed this on that.
Yeah, it was organized crime that he was fighting against. And that part of it is true. And he did some great things. And they assumed that this organized crime, one of the groups that was out to get Buford, is the one that killed his wife, and they were just unable to tie it back to an individual. All they really had was her physical evidence. She had been shot, and there were some other things we'll get into, but and then his word for it. Fast forward to 2022. Tennessee authorities reopened this case, and the cold case review dug into the crime scene, the photos, the testimony, the medical notes. There really hadn't been fully looked into since, you know, we got modern forensic technology. A tip prompted them to exhume Pauline's body in early 2024, decades after her grave had been sealed.
I mean, this is well over 40 years ago. So the fact that they are exhuming a body that long ago, this must have been a pretty good tip.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. It had to be huge.
So what they found was anything but consistent with Buford Pusser's story. So blood spatter on the outside hood of the car, not inside, suggesting that the shooting did not occur in the passenger seat. That's a big deal, and that's also not evidence that you get from exhuming the body. So that's evidence that they had right off hand, right? Medical examiner Dr. Michael Reveal concluded Pauline was likely shot outdoors and then placed inside the car. Pusser's own wound to his cheek was assessed as a close-range, self-inflicted injury, not a long-distance bullet as he had claimed had happened. Investigators also found evidence of prior domestic abuse, including a healed, broken nose. All of this raised some serious doubt about the so-called ambush.
Yeah, and I think that last piece is key. Not only did they find that she had a healed broken nose, but she also had a traumatic head injury at that same time, which would suggest she was in some type of fight. She was struck in the head hard enough to crack her skull. They don't know whether that was before or after she got shot, but that wasn't part of his story. There was no head trauma that was part of his narrative about what happened. And, you know, the fallout here is huge. He was more than just an officer that did great things. He was legendary in this area, and because of the books and movies, really international legend to some degree. This was all announced at a recent news conference, and District Attorney Mark Davidson said, "This case is not about tearing down a legend. It's about giving dignity and closure to Pauline and her family, even 58 years later."
My math was a little off. A little longer than 40 years.
It may as well have been a million years.
Pauline's brother said that he wasn't entirely shocked despite all of those years. She was the most caring and personable person. He would go on to say, "I loved her with all my heart." He said that the heartfelt charge is now giving this case a fresh emotional resonance that, quite frankly, it deserves.
And this isn't just lip service. The TBI, Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, came forward and said that if Buford Pusser was still alive today, they would indict him, which is a stunning statement. You have to have strong evidence to indict somebody. The case file is now over 1,000 pages, and it's going to be made public through the University of Tennessee at Martin's searchable archive. So this is a situation where we have strong enough evidence that they could prosecute him. I mean, they could still do this posthumously if they wanted to, but it also is taking the city of Adamsville, making them reevaluate the fact that they have a museum and street signs named after this guy.
I mean, yeah, like you said, he is a local legend. And so now that this is coming out and the TBI saying that we have enough to indict this guy if he were still alive, I mean, there's a lot of people who probably live on streets that are going to be renamed pretty soon.
Yeah, and I know we're solving cold cases at a higher rate than ever right now because of technology and other things, but it's not often that we're taking down legends that, you know, were, I don't know, built up hope and encouragement for people to do the right thing and seek justice, and now to know that he also probably killed his wife is a big gut punch for me, at least.
And I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus, but man, like, a lot of the evidence that they had dug back into was already stuff that should have been looked at before. I mean, was this a good old boy thing that he helped to cover up? I mean, cause if you tell me that story that she's ambushed and shot inside the car, why is there blood on the hood, bro?
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Did you also hit a deer while being ambushed? It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't at all. And I agree with you. It should have been looked into more deeply at the time. It seems obvious that it should have been. So I don't know if it's good old boy situation, if it was just bad investigation, but certainly justice missed the mark for Pauline almost 60 years ago. So hopefully they will be getting that soon. Hopefully with some definitive answers maybe of what happened. Also, a quick update. The villain's name, the actor Neil McDonough.
Okay. Was I mistaken? Was that not the guy I was thinking of?
Oh, that's absolutely the guy you're thinking of. Yeah.
I just don't know his real name. But by all accounts, he's a great dude. Like, in real life.
Yeah, so that's not awesome. Not a real life villain. But that part of the, so part the of makes Rock, the movie really good.
It's been 20 years since I've watched this. So, I mean, not that long after it had happened, I guess. No, I'm kidding. Was The Rock, but did he play Buford?
He was, I don't think he was the name Buford Pusser. I think they redid the name for The Rock for some reason. Because, in the original movie, he was Buford Pusser.
Okay. So The Rock in that movie had just come home from, like, I think the war.
Yeah, the military. Yeah.
And saw that his town was kind of going to crap, that some factories were being shut down. There was some organized crime going on. And he was reluctant to get involved, but did, and then just totally cleaned house.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't remember him being Buford. So
yeah,
I think he took over the role of sheriff, but he wasn't originally the sheriff, if that makes sense.
Yeah, but he definitely played the Buford role.
I wonder, the sheriff asked for his help, if I'm not mistaken, in that movie.
I wonder if his love interest name is Pauline. Now I'll have to go back and
I don't check remember. That did out. She get killed in the movie? I don't remember.
No,
I
wanna go watch it. She did not get killed in the movie. Maybe that happened after the events of the movie, but
I don't want to turn this into Bless Their Hearts, but he was also in another movie around the same time where he was tracking down somebody in the jungle. And I'm going to watch that one too.
Yeah, that's with Sean William Scott.
It was.
Yeah.
Cannot remember the name of that movie. But anyway.
Yeah. You can go watch those movies if you want. I don't know. Walking Tall was so good. And legitimately, I thought, how cool is this guy?
The Rundown.
And this, The Rundown. Thanks. Good job. Yeah. But this one, yeah. There was a lot of soggy water on Walking Tall for me.
Yep. Guys, we love you. Thanks for listening to our rant. But this was an interesting case, man.
And it was a case in right around 10 minutes.
Would you like crime with that?
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.